Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you in part by Purina. Purina is dedicated to creating richer lives for pets and the people who love them. From helping older pets think like their younger selves to making cat ownership a possibility for more people than ever, Purina is helping pets thrive so they can live long, healthy, and happy lives. Purina has you covered for all your furry friends' needs, whether they meow or bark. From litter to treats to their best-in-class, nutrient-packed food with taste your pets will love, Purina's got your back at every stage of your pet's life. Your pet gives you the joy of the spring sunshine all year round. So today and every day, care for your pet with Purina. Your pet is Purina's passion. To learn more, head to amazon.com/Purina.
From the halls of assembly, you'll hear a screaming shout. Our love of Indiana is manic and devout. Everything I do, we discuss in unique manner. We won't be satisfied until we hang another banner. Us two goofy guys go by names of Ward and Eric. And as you probably know by now, we're Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics.
Hello, Ward.
Hello, Eric.
I mean, look, let's just set the stage here. It's about 10 till 9 our time, Monday night. I just got back in town. My plane landed 1 hour and 10 minutes ago. Everything's coming up roses right now for Indiana, and I want to go, and for us. And I feel like things are coming up roses because of everything that's happening because of Indiana. And before we get to that, we are, of course, as always.
Oh, I'm so disappointed. I thought you were going to say everything's coming up roses because we are.
You wanted me to do it?
Well, I thought you were leading into that. Like you were like, oh, it's all great. But then you stopped it and said, now let's just do the setup thing. I thought you were setting it up really organically, but then you just came to a full stop and we're like, but first this, a word from our sponsor.
I don't really see the difference between what you thought I was doing and what I did do.
Yeah, I just felt it coming in this like, oh, look at this. This is so smooth the way he's doing that. But then you were like, but before we get to that, let's do this thing over here.
Oh, that's fair. That's right? Fair. Well, you got to pay the bills.
You do. You do. It's just sometimes you do it with style and other times you just grind it out.
Yeah, I'm more on the grind it out category most of the time. Most of the time.
Especially after flying across the country.
Well, we are
powered by
CommunityCars.com. Sponsor of the pod, Hoosier Hysterics. CommunityCars.com.
Hoosier Legends talk with Ward and Eric.
How's that for smooth? How's that?
So smooth. Shout out Community Cars, Evan Martin. There's no way we would all be this happy on this night if it wasn't for Evan Martin and Community Cars.
The truth is, that is true. I mean, Evan Martin and Community Cars have been a proud NIL contributor to the Hoosier Hysterics NIL Collective, HHNIL.com, from the jump. One of our first big corporate partners. He's been generous with his finances. He's been generous with his time with us. He's a partner. And there is no doubt that some of that and some of our ability to make substantial NIL deals is somewhat responsible for the good luck, but we're not going to take credit for it because we know where the credit for this one lies. But that's the main course. We're not getting to the main course yet.
We're just starting the first course, the appetizer. But the fact of the matter is, going back generations in the Martin family, you know, this has been a company that has not only employed hundreds of people around the Bloomington area and gotten incredible deals for thousands of people around the Bloomington area when they need a good car, or not in the Bloomington area, anywhere in the 48 states and in 5 of the 7 continents. But all that comes back to, hey, all you good people out there who went to Community Cars and got yourself a great car at a great deal, dealing with great people, all of that has ended up funneling its way towards IU having a very robust NIL deal to basically brag about whenever these recruits come through town.
Yeah, every penny that you have spent at Community Cars has gone. All right. So listen, we're going to get into a bunch of stuff, but I just got to share this, which is we're just in the wake of great Indiana news. You know, we're just a couple days removed from it.
Yes.
And I was in New York when this all went down. So
we had very different experiences when the news broke.
And we're going to talk about that. But today, so I was set to come back from New York. I got there yesterday and coming back today. It's a quick turnaround, today being Monday night. My flight on the way back was until 9 p.m. New York time. I wasn't going to get into L.A. till midnight. I was not looking forward to that.
Woof.
Because it just ruins me for the next day. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to try to fly standby on an earlier flight. I got to the airport. I rushed to the gate. 5:29 p.m. flight. I got to the airport at like 4:40. Rushed to the gate. They're like, well, it seems like a pretty full flight, so we're not sure. They welcome on groups 1 through 9. There were 9 groups. And it looked packed. And I see on the screen, the standby list, and there's 5 people on it. I'm number 3.
Okay.
There's 4 people on it. I'm number 3. The first two, everybody's on the plane. The first two come up in the cycle and it says they're on the plane.
Damn.
I have to wait for it to cycle through again. Everybody's basically on the plane. Number 4 gets on the plane.
What?
I'm like, what is... So I go up. I go, excuse me. I'm number 3. How did number 4? They're like, well, he had higher status than you.
Oof.
I'm like, well, that's fair. I mean, that's true for most.
Well, yeah, sure. But reflect that in the waiting, in the batting order.
I know.
Order.
Don't tease. Why are you teasing me?
Yeah.
And then she goes, listen, I got a middle seat in an emergency exit row. But the person has gotten into the airport and has a bag tag already. And I go, well, what does that mean? That means she's like, they checked a bag. Like, but what time do they have to be here before you give it away? She's like, I'll just give it away now. And she just gave it to me.
Damn, that is great for you, terrible for them.
but it was like 5:10 and the flight's supposed to leave at 5:29. So you're supposed to be there more than 19 minutes before the flight is scheduled to leave.
Yeah, yeah.
So I get on. I get a middle seat. I'm not looking forward to it, right? It's a middle seat. 2 people are looking at me like, oh, boy.
But you got the leg room. That's pretty good for last second standby.
Fair. I get in. I go to sleep. I like sleep for like an hour. And I wake up. Oh, this is going to be brutal. Because New York to L.A. is a rough flight. It's just you're going against the headwinds. You know, it's a longer flight than L.A. to New York. But then I start like tracking the flight and it says like we're going to land like 55 minutes before we're scheduled to land. And I'm like, all right, well, that happens sometimes, but I'm sure it'll refresh in the air. And it just keeps that. We landed an hour early.
Did the pilot have a hot date? What was going on?
Well, it's funny you say that, Ward. So I get up to get my stuff at the end, and there's a flight attendant right there. And I said, hey, have you ever worked a flight that was an hour early? Like, that's like 20% early. That's 20% of the flight.
Yeah, it's not like going to Australia. That's like a good percentage of the flight.
I'm like, and she goes, only when the pilot's got a connecting flight they got to make and get home. And I go, what do you mean? She goes, the pilot lives in San Francisco and his last flight is leaving and he had to make it. And I go, are you being serious right now? And she goes, oh, yeah. Off as a crew, when we find out that the pilot has a connecting flight, we know we're going to be early. I'm like, I'm like losing my mind. I'm like, if that is true, then the whole lot of you are crooked. Yeah. Like, what do you mean? The rest of the time you're just lallygagging it?
It's to save money on gas.
But he can just determine that he doesn't want to save money on gas?
I guess. He maybe has some, yeah, seniority there. I would imagine that's not something he can do on the regular basis.
We landed, Ward, in LAX, which is a big airport. We were at the gate in like 90 seconds. It felt like we didn't even come to that post-landing stop. We just flew into the gate.
You see other planes trying to get to the gate. You're passing them on the left.
Yeah, just people are slamming their brakes. Like, it was unbelievable. And as I'm getting off the plane, a woman is listening to my conversation with the flight attendant and getting a kick out of it because I am losing my mind. I'm like, you're all crooked. You're all crooked. And she's laughing. And I realized, sorry, there was some random peanut butter on my counter that I just ate.
It's not random.
It's not. It was placed. And I recognize her. She was the actress. Did you ever watch Deadwood?
Oh, sure.
Remember Calamity Jane?
Oh, yeah.
That actress is right there. And she was in Sons of Anarchy. She had like a good run on Sons of Anarchy, I think, for a season or two.
Okay.
And I was like, and Calamity Jane, I thought she was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just awesome. And I've seen her. She's one of those actresses that's like, she's in an LA, a Law and Order episode, an SVU episode, a Criminal Intent, like all of them. Grey's Anatomy, she hits them all. And I think I've seen her in every one. Like everything I watch, she's in. And I've always been a fan of hers. And we're walking out together, and I'm like, I'm going to say something to her if I can just be positioned next to her so it's not awkward.
Right.
And we hit the moving sidewalk at the same time.
Nice.
And I'm going faster than her. And I go, and I just walk by her, and she's on my right. And I said, excuse me, I don't mean to bother you, but you do great work. And she was floored by it.
Oh, yeah? Not she doesn't, like, get recognized often, huh?
She's holding her phone, and I said it, and she goes, oh.
She clutched it to her heart.
She clutched it, and she goes, that is so incredible that you said that to me. Oh, and her face turned red, and she was like, I cannot thank you enough for saying that. That is so sweet. And I'm like, you're welcome. I felt like $1 million.
Well, and she knows you don't suffer fools. She knows you're not just looking for people to hand compliments to.
Right. Because I just reamed the entire flight crew.
Yeah.
So then I walk across the street to the parking lot. I put my parking thing in. I get out. There's no traffic. There's no traffic on the 405. I got home 10 minutes before my flight was supposed to land.
So, and you're telling me I shouldn't feel too bad that I thought we were doing this a half hour from now and I'm missing text from you an hour and a half early.
No. Everything got crazy. Everything is going well because we're Hoosiers. Except for a couple things.
Oh, boy.
Give me your Colts breakdown.
Moving right along.
So wait, where are you now? Because you vacillate wildly throughout a season. Are you now back to rooting for losses?
Yeah, I think most people vacillate wildly when they go from having a generational talent at quarterback to not having one at all until next season. Yes, I'm vacillating. I'm done with
football. Is the word that he's not going to play till next season?
Yeah, Irsay tweeted it tonight that he was like, yeah, we're probably shutting him down. Because, you know, look.
But Ward, that's good for you.
You know, you say that, but it's not, Eric, because guess what? Guess what? Tomorrow or the week after or a couple months from now or next year, I could be dead. All right. And all I want with whatever time I have left on this earth is to watch exciting Colts football because it's been lacking for a few years. And here we had this kid that made every offensive snap exciting. And he was replaced by Gardner Minshew, who, God bless Gardner, has been doing a good job filling in. But when the other team knows it's Gardner, and especially when it's Jacksonville, it's really ugly, really fast for an entire game. And it just went from the Jonathan Taylor extension to he's out of the game to he's out for the season. At break well,
first it was out for 4 weeks to 8 weeks, right? And then a month or two. And then now it's the season.
Most likely. And I agree and appreciate with the thought process of Andrew Luck's shoulder for a variety of reasons got turned into mush way too early. Let's be absolutely precautious, take all the time in the world and rebuild this shoulder as it needs to be. I mean, it's still terrifying. But for me, as somebody who realized well before the Michigan game that IU football was going to offer me no joy this year, was like, all right, well, we got Tony Rich up in Indy, some young guys, young coach. It's fun. And every win, every touchdown's kind of like icing on the cake watching all this. And now that's all been ripped away for basically the next year. And I am on to basketball season, quite frankly. Will I tune into football a little bit for the Colts? I mean, honestly, like, you know, at this point in my life, I'm not necessarily going to give 3 hours of my day to watch a Colts team that's not even being led by the real quarterback.
Okay, but here's what I'm going to say to you, back to your thing about you could die tomorrow. If that's true, then you should be rooting for the Colts to lose every game and get the best pick so that in your afterlife, you can know that the Colts are stockpiling and it doesn't affect you because you're dead and you can't see them anyway.
I'll take that into consideration.
Okay, good. All right. So that's the Colts breakdown. Although I will say this, here's an interesting thing. Let's say you guys don't win another game.
Fine.
And Caleb Williams is available.
Yeah.
Do you draft the best quarterback in the draft?
I think you absolutely do from a business point of view. Well, okay. I guess there's two ways to think about that. One is basically if you want to trade that pick, it basically is Caleb Williams. So you're getting him to draft him. So you could just get an incredible haul for a talent like that. That being said, that guy's making seven figures as the quarterback out here. He doesn't have to turn pro next year to start cashing checks. That's already happening. So you can't give him up to like a garbage franchise like the Jets. Just doing that because we got some Jets friends out there. No, but so yeah, like, look, the number one pick is incredibly valuable. I think there's too many teams that are worse than us. I don't really think, because this team, this coach, the rest of these guys, Minshew, they're gonna win a few more games. They're good
enough.
Okay,
but I like playing the hypothetical game.
Okay. All right.
I think if you get the number one pick, you draft the quarterback and bring him to camp and just see who's better and then trade somebody.
Well, in theory,
you know how I feel. It's all about the quarterback. It's get the quarterback. And right now you don't know that you have a quarterback with Anthony Richardson. You just don't know what that injury is going to be. You don't know if he's a lemon overall. And might as well take if the guy is there, bring them both to camp. And it's an awesome story.
I definitely see the logic in that. And that's the frustrating thing. If he didn't seem like he could potentially be a lemon, I'm like, no, I feel good. He's our guy. Use your high draft pick to get a stud receiver or for a lot of draft capital to get him a couple more weapons. But yeah, you know, we don't even know if that shoulder's ever going to be the same again. And even if it is, you know, in week two, he's going to come out and like break his coccyx.
You just wanted to say that so bad.
I didn't know I did until I said it, but it did feel good.
All right. Let's move on to the other piece of bad news before we talk about good news.
Okay.
Indiana University football. Ward, did you know that we don't know who the starting quarterback is going to be next week? Once again, I mean, just the history of this season is hysterical. Opening game against Ohio State, fool them. Don't tell them. We don't tell them. He plays both. We get smoked. I know. We didn't lose by as many as people thought we'd lose by, but it was game one, whatever. Then, okay, that was the plan. Tom Allen comes out. That was the plan, everybody. We were going to play both, and whoever didn't play, didn't start, would start the next week, and then we spend the first two games deciding who the starting quarterback is. Then we make the decision for game three, and that's our starter. No more funny business. Great. Taven Jackson starts game two. Decision is made. Taven Jackson is the starting quarterback for the rest of the season until he's not, and he gets benched, and they bring in Brendan Sorsby just a couple games later, and then they fire the offensive coordinator, and we're back to, we're not telling you who the starting quarterback is, and we play against Michigan, and we lose 52-7 after being up 7-0 after one quarter.
It was a great quarter of football. We all knew where it was headed. I texted my neighbor, who is a Michigan guy, and, you know, this was a couple of days ahead of time. And the text was simply, what is the largest margin of victory Michigan football has ever had?
Uh-huh.
And that's, he goes, good. Don't jinx me with your voodoo jinx magic. And I was like, no, my friend. Yeah. This is a very serious question, because I think history could get made. And when I was seeing people talking about the spread, I didn't check it myself. I think it was like 35, 40. And I'm like, oh, well, that's easy money. You got to go over that. And in the first quarter, I was like, yeah, well, see, that's why I don't gamble. We may keep this within 30 points. No.
It's why the game is 60 minutes. So that game shits the bed. And now, he plays both quarterbacks. And now for the next game, we're not telling you who the starting quarterback is, but whoever starts this game, the seventh game, that's who the starting quarterback will be for the rest of the season. It's a joke. It is. I know you don't care about it. You haven't cared about it at all. You don't think it's a big deal. But I have said from the beginning, it is indicative of a staff that is lost and just absolutely lost. And that's what it is. It's embarrassing. It makes us look like we're worthy of all the jokes about Indiana football that people levy towards us. And maybe we are. I can't stand it. I think it's ridiculous. And I think you run the real risk now if Taven Jackson is not the starter. Get ready for a transfer. Get ready for transfer portal again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's a joke. And by the way, there's also Dexter Williams is out there. So is he going to be the starting quarterback?
Right.
I mean, it's just, the whole thing's a joke. It's terrible. It really bothers me.
What about this? You're making the pitch to, you know, high school senior quarterbacks, other quarterbacks coming in from other schools potentially through the portal, and be like, you know, you could come to IU, play for a couple years, and then you could do what Michael Penix did. It could really springboard you to another program where you could win the Heisman.
Yeah, look, it's Kalen DeBoer is going to be coach of the year. Michael Penix might be the Heisman winner, and they may win a national championship. I mean, but I got to say, the over-the-top love of Michael Penix that people are having online as Hoosier fans, like, I'm sorry, I'm just not buying it. I mean, I watched that Washington-Oregon game because I thought it would be a fun game to watch, and it was. It was high-level football and a fun game. But, like, I mean, Michael Penix is not a Hoosier. Like, I don't want him to get hurt, but I don't give a shit. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, he left.
Yeah.
And, you know, we didn't do much to keep him, but whatever. I don't know what to say. Like, I don't care about people who used to be Hoosiers who aren't anymore. Like, right. I didn't care about Luke Recker after he left Indiana basketball. Why should I care?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm never going to be that guy. Obviously, if you graduated from IU or left early for a draft of some sort, Hoosier for life. But the second you put on the jersey of another college basketball or football team, you're dead to me.
Yeah, I mean, like, I maybe there'd be an extenuating circumstance where, like, you got kicked off the team for something that wasn't right, or you were going through something
Maurice Creek.
Yeah, Maurice Creek is a great example. That is a perfect example. Him I root for.
Yeah.
But also I don't root for him as hard as I root for Indiana Hoosiers. Like, that's where it starts to get bothersome to me, is when I see people are rooting harder for Michael Penix than they're rooting for Taven Jackson. It's like, no, I still am rooting harder for Taven Jackson and support him more. Anyway.
Everybody loves a winner.
Ward, let's talk about winner. You know who's winning?
Coach Mike Woodson.
I'm not there yet. Oh, I'm not there yet. Okay. I've got little appetizer.
I'll drop my shirt down.
Yeah. IU women's volleyball, man.
Rolling.
Dude, they are rolling. They beat Purdue, you know, ranked 15th in the country. They beat Michigan. They've got a winning record in the Big Ten. I think they are one win away from matching the number of total wins last year. It's awesome.
I totally realize maybe you didn't botch the opportunity to talk smack to Brian Evans with his daughter playing for Michigan volleyball.
Well, no, she never made it to Michigan.
What happened?
She committed to a coach and the coach got fired. And then she bailed on Michigan. She's at Butler.
Oh, okay. Well, then I didn't miss that opportunity.
No.
Maybe she needs to come to IU now, Brian.
Dude, and there's like, apparently Coach Aird has like 3 5 stars lined up for 2025.
You know, it's taken a while for it to get there. But good on the athletic department for giving him that runway that he needed. Because you and I met with him. What was that, his first season? Second season, maybe?
No. Probably second season, I think. Second season makes sense, yeah.
And the energy that man has, you're like, well, if anybody's going to get this thing going, it's going to be this guy. He's a whirling dervish of passion and positivity. And, you know, look, it was pretty hairy there for a little bit, but he got him rowing in the right direction. And I really hope this momentum just keeps going, because, you know, now that I'm driving to East Bumble beep in the Inland Empire to watch my daughter play volleyball, it sure would be nice to be able to watch volleyball games with her for Indiana University. And it'd be like, hey, yeah, like that's the way you do it.
You have to watch them. They are so much fun, and they're selling out Wilkinson Hall. They've had 2 sellouts already this year. It's incredible. The energy there is amazing. We went to a game, wasn't sold out, but had great energy.
Yeah.
We loved it. It was fun as hell. They are, and the women on that team are just great personalities, great energy. They have great enthusiasm for the game, for each other. I love it. I absolutely love it. And
also,
now it's time.
Oh, I was going to say, and also confirmed, they still have Chick-fil-A at Wilkinson Hall.
True. So even another reason. Now it's time for the main course. I mean, give me your story. Tell me where you were and how the announcement played out for you.
It's been a hellacious week here in Glendale with my darling wife north of the border shooting a show for Netflix in Canada, leaving her hapless husband to raise 2 children, along with just those duties, which I'm not prepared to do on my own, clearly, we had a promotional shoot.
Time out, because we have not announced this on the podcast.
And we should, because I think we have some listeners in Austin.
Yeah, well, we should, because it's unbelievable. That's why we should, not because we have listeners in Austin.
No,
we should. Because many, many months ago, we told everybody on this podcast and invited some people who did come to told everybody about the movie that Ward had made, Invaders from Proxima B.
That's correct.
And it's a movie that Ward poured his heart into. He shot it at his house. He is the star of it. He is the director of it. he lent his daughter, who was co-star of it. And it is a great, funny, warm, sweet, silly movie. It's just everything. It is perfect. And he did a little screening in LA for various people. We told Hoosier Hysterics that were in LA, and some did come. But the big announcement is, Ward, I will let you share the news. Please tell everybody what has happened with Proxima B since we last spoke about it.
We received the shocking good news that we were one of the 2% of submitted films that got accepted into the very prestigious Austin Film Festival, the 30th annual Austin Film Festival. It's a festival I adore. I got to go there with a film I acted in by fellow Hoosier Travis Betts many years ago. And, you know, I was like, I just want to get this film out there. But hey, let me submit to like two festivals. So I submitted to like two festivals 6 months ago and basically forgot about it, because that's how festivals work when you don't have big stars and you're not connected at the studio level or with a high powered agent that can muscle you in there next to the independent films that have multi-million dollar budgets and big movie stars. We're not that. This is truly a micro budget film made by like six people on a given day in my house, including my daughter and several fellow Hoosiers. So in this day and age, you don't get into one of these monster festivals that way. So of course I forgot about it, but when they told me, hey, you got in, is it indeed going to be your world premiere? I'm like, yeah, it's going to be our world premiere. They're like, well, congratulations. We want to have it here at Austin. And, you know, I was immediately giddy, euphoric, and immediately completely panic-stricken, because that means you need to deliver your film to this festival in a matter of days, which is a whole technical nightmare I won't get into. And you also need to organize your cast, your crew, your friends, your family to get to Austin in 1 month's time for this big, spectacular event. So it's been a whirlwind couple of weeks, to say the least.
And that 1 month's time has now turned into 1 week's time. Right? I mean, if you're like 10 days away, basically?
Yeah, give me like the 11 days I got, please.
Okay. All right. So you were shooting a promotional thing for that festival.
Yes.
With your cast and crew. Well, and then what happened?
Well, it was so the star of our film is a fuzzy, short, animatronic alien puppet named Chuck. So, you know, the Instagram is gonna love Chuck. So I had Travis, who I mentioned earlier, Mike Nelson, our dear friend, who is also one of the stars of the film and produced it with me. So
you also will know from many commercials, including the very popular progressive ads of not turning into your parents. Mike Nelson, mustached dude, black hair, is in those. He's been in, I don't know, like four or five of them now, I want to say.
At least, more. Yeah. They just shot some more, too.
And you've seen him before. He's been in shows like Black-ish. He's one of the funniest people in the world.
He is. In the progressive spot, maybe his most iconic line is, blue.
Blue.
When the guy with blue hair walks by. But Mike, an incredible human being. And so he came over. It was like 10:30. And, you know, everybody's giving up their Sunday to come, you know, shove their hand up a puppet's butt again. And like, let's do this. And I was like, okay, everybody. But then at like 12:15, we're in the middle of setting up a shot between the puppet and my son, Porter. And my alarm goes off on my phone, which of course we're using to shoot the promo spots. And I go, okay, everybody, I'm sorry, we're going to have to take a break. They're like, what's going on? Like, lunch? I'm like, oh, no, I'm not getting anybody lunch. There's bagels right over there. No, I got to turn on ESPN, because I knew, by 12:15, it's going to be midway through the first half. We just need to keep an eye on it. And so as I'm getting it set up, I'm explaining to Travis and Mike. Mike follows IU basketball somewhat. He's a big sports guy, but doesn't get into the weeds on recruiting. Travis maybe didn't even know IU had a basketball team.
Right. Yeah.
And so I sort of explain the circumstances, like who Liam is, how talented and highly rated he is. And if he, in fact, committed to IU, that there was this other guy and then this other guy who we'd have a good chance at getting because we get him. So the stakes have sort of never been higher. Now, I had missed out on the text chain with Yumi and the goons, where it was basically word was starting to get out around Hoosier Nation. The confidence was high. You know, the tea leaves were being read and everybody was feeling pretty good about things. I had not got any of that news. I'd been in prep for this thing and shooting this thing, and I was not privy to everybody starting to feel genuinely confident. So I was not, because it's Bill Self and Kansas.
Right.
So I'm on pins and needles, and because I've given everybody about a 5-minute setup, they're in it with me. You know, my son's in it with me. We're all just sitting there. He says Indiana University, and it's like we just beat Purdue on a last second shot. I'm hopping around the house, yelling, screaming, cursing. Everybody's there with me. And then the funny part was, just in case they didn't know what a lunatic I was, I'm spacing on the reporter's name who was doing it with Liam.
Paul Biancardi.
Yeah, Biancardi says, are you going to get active on the recruiting end of things? You know, who are you going to reach out to? Who are you going to call? And I was like, well, he's going to call Derek. And then he goes, well, first guy is Derek right there. And, you know, Derek's there taking pictures or whatever, video with his phone. And I was like, and now say Boogie. He goes, and then my next call is Boogie. And at that point, everybody in the room is like, you got to step away, dude. You know, like, you should not know what this high school kid is going to say before he says it.
Luckily, everybody listening to this podcast would have been you in that room.
Yes.
We are of like mind. So that is phenomenal. My story was a little different. I was landing in New York at 2:20 p.m. The announcement was going to happen at 3:45 or so, 3:40. So I thought, I got no check bags. I've got plenty of time. My flight was a little early. We landed at 2:10. I got in a cab, an Uber right away. I'm like, this is going to be great. And then Brooklyn traffic. Ugh. And Long Island traffic, Queens traffic. It was awful. And I realized I am not going to be back at the hotel. I've already sent out the thing that says I'm going to do a Spaces at 3:30 because I thought, won't it be fun to do a Spaces where we get to witness it together and then celebrate together? Wonderful. And I'm in the back of this Uber and I realized I'm going to have to start the Spaces at 3:30 in the backseat of this car. And I am not going to be able to watch it because I only have my phone and I couldn't stream the game on Hulu and do Spaces. So I start Spaces and Sweet Mamby Jamby, who follows us on Twitter, he comes on and wants to speak. And I go, Sweet Mamby Jamby, here's what is going to have to happen. You're going to have to fill in for Ward. You're going to have to be the guy watching it and giving the play-by-play. And so Sweet Mamby Jamby's like, I'm in. Let's do this. And we had... I mean, Ward, there were like close to 1,000 people who were on it. It was like unbelievable.
Oh, that's incredible.
And I'm like, Sweet Mamby Jamby, what's going on? He's like, there's 12 seconds left in the half. Great. All right. Let's do this. They're going to break. I'm like, yeah, they're going to go to commercial break and then they're going to come back. And the second they go to commercial break, the signal goes dead. We're like 90 seconds away from the announcement and I'm freaking out. I'm talking. No one can hear me, or some people can, but Sweet Mamby Jamby, I can't hear him. The time goes. I'm on my phone looking at Twitter. Liam chooses IU. Oh my God. So I get back on Spaces. I'm in the cab. I'm in the Uber. The guy doesn't know what the fuck is going on. I mean, I am losing my mind. I get back on Spaces. I'm like, Sweet Mamby Jamby, you got to tell us what happened. You know, like, I wasn't there. So walk me through it. I am like the one fan who didn't see it. You're watching it live with people that don't even know Indiana has a basketball team. My dad is texting me. He's watching it live. But I'm in the backseat of an Uber in somewhere in Brooklyn going about 1 mile an hour backwards. That's how fast we were going. And so Sweet Mamby Jamby goes, they asked him about, you know, he announced it was Indiana. And then they asked him, you know, are you going to recruit? And he goes, yes, the first person I'm calling is Boogie. And I'm like, he said Boogie was the first person. He goes, yeah, he said Boogie. And I go, and who was around him? He goes, he had like his friends and family. I go, was Derek around him? No, Derek wasn't there. Derek wasn't there. I don't think his teammates were there. And then everybody starts hitting me up. Sweet Mamby Jamby doesn't know what the shit he's talking about. He got everything wrong. I'm surprised he didn't say that he committed to Kansas. He got every detail wrong. So I get to the hotel. I load up spaces. Ward, I am 1 mile away from the hotel. 0.9 something away from the hotel. And we are moving backwards. And I am now car sick. And disgusted that I'm in this car for an hour and 20 minutes. And I just go, dude, pull over. I'm getting out. I'm walking the rest of the way. And it's happening live on the spaces. I get out live and light the commitment cigar while it's happening. Yes. And I walk the mile to my hotel, headphones on, screaming on spaces. Couldn't be happier. That was my experience with the Liam commitment. Now, let's talk about what it means.
Well, first, it means this. It means it was another day in Hoosier lore, not unlike, I mean, actually, in many ways, because of the buildup, you know, it was is sort of more memorable, like, you know, the way this all went down. But what it got me thinking about is when I was picking up one of my kids from school and you called and told me that Trace Jackson Davis had committed. Or when I found out Christian Lander had committed and called you. And, you know, I remember those moments so distinctly that I think we all experienced another one of those. Now, in
or Romeo, remember? We watched Romeo together.
We watched Romeo together in your office at CBS. Yes.
And then we went and smoked a cigar together at a cigar lounge in Beverly Hills.
It's those are precious memories. And, you know, in hindsight, you could be like, well, that one worked out. That one definitely didn't. That one's somewhere in between. Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Who gives a shit? And I know people have been shitting on this. Like, people have been shitting. Oh, I mean, Dan Dakich, he's been like all over, like, oh, I'm sure Indiana's going to get another guy that's going to save the program and all the internet boys are going to go nuts. It's like, hey, dude, who gives a shit, man? It's a moment in time where we get to be excited as Indiana fans. It's sure better than not getting the good player.
Yeah.
And like you said, we're going to remember those moments and we're going to laugh about them and we're going to talk about them and your friends are going to remember them. And it's just part of being a fanatic. It's part of being a hysteric. That is part of this. Of course, you brought this up so many years ago now, like 4 or 5 years ago when we started the podcast, where you made the point, like, look at the number of hours that are in a given year. There's only about 70 of them that are dedicated to the team doing the thing, playing basketball. The rest is just this shit. Yeah. And so why not have as much fun with it as possible? Does it, like, it did used to annoy me that kids make such a big spectacle. But look, if it was me, I would be fucking jumping out of a plane with like jetliner riding sky. I would have had a big IU trident in the sky, you know, so with skywriting. So I love it. I think it's super fun. It's part of being a fan. And you're right. These are moments that we're going to remember. So you are right. That is what it means right now. But now let's talk about what it means for Indiana basketball. You and I have been saying for a while, this is the most important recruitment in the Mike Woodson era. And beyond that, it's the most important recruitment that Indiana has had since Cody Zeller. I believe that. I believe this is the defining recruitment of this era. And we either will, I don't even want to say what the negative could be, but this is the one we had to have. Because if you didn't, I don't think you're in the fight for the next two. I really don't.
Yeah.
And now we are. But what this kid is as a player is a Swiss Army knife. And we have not had a player like this in a long time. First of all, we haven't had a shooter like this in a long time.
What the hell, man? It's that I'm still having trouble absorbing that we've got a sharpshooter coming to town.
6'7" sharpshooter, good size, smart player, can get to the hole too, makes his teammates better, rebounds well, plays defense hard, great motor. He is everything you want in a basketball player, with the exception of he's not like a super athlete, but he's a super recruiter, apparently. And of course, that is the thing that drove Indiana Nation into a different level stratosphere of euphoria, is when he said, I'm calling Derek and I'm calling Boogie. And he has since put out a video that looks like Indiana University made it. Did you see that one?
Yeah. Is that the one with his voiceover?
No, there's two. So that one is his commitment video.
Okay.
But now there's one where they've spliced in the announcement with video of Boogie and Derek at Indiana.
Oh.
And it's got the Indiana logo, the bug on it, and the Indiana end card. So it looks like Indiana made it, which seems to be really flying pretty close to the NCAA sun that Indiana doesn't typically like to do, but whatever. I don't give a shit.
Let's get Icarus.
And we are now, what was it, 24 hours after his announcement, it is announced that Boogie is announcing his school this coming Friday.
Now, we knew that was coming up. We expected that to come shortly, but it does feel like maybe there's a connection, like that is not a total coincidence that announcement came out the next day.
That I can't speak to. It is also the day of Hoosier hysteria.
Mm.
So Boogie's got a chance to just cement himself as a folk hero for Indiana before he even comes. We got one in Liam, and now that he's trying to put a band together. He is trying to put the 2024 recruiting class together by getting Boogie and then getting Derek. Here's what I hear right now on Boogie. I hear he has not made a decision, but I will say I got a phone call from somebody, or not a phone call, a text from somebody out of the blue who is a pretty connected person who said, it's looking real good.
It feels good. And I'm sure part of that is you telling me that bit of information a little bit earlier today, him officially saying I'm announcing on the date of Hoosier hysteria. And yeah, and just that Liam said yes. Like, it all, of course, everything feels optimistic right now. But damn it, I want your source to be absolutely correct.
Yeah, and look, it is, for Liam to be the first domino, another domino has to fall. Otherwise, he's right. Just a guy committing to Indiana.
Yeah.
But if you get Boogie, mm-hmm. if you get that stud point guard. Now, I will say this about Boogie. Rabby has been all over Boogie for a long time.
Yeah.
But a lot of people were all over Christian Lander, too. Okay.
Fair.
So,
fair.
And they are similarly ranked. And they are similarly sized. Now,
but one now, is the proper year.
Fair point. Fair point. There is that little part of me that goes, the last point guard that I got crazy excited about didn't pan out. But all the reports are that this guy has swagger that Christian didn't have. His name is New York baller.
His name is Boogie.
Yeah, his name is Boogie. And I watched some interviews with him. This dude is special. He's got personality for days. He wants to be a leader. He knows what it means to be a leader. He knows about the little things. He wants to do the little things. Like, this dude feels like a guy who's got his eye on the prize from a pretty early age and knows how to get there. If you start the 2024 recruiting class with Liam and Boogie, I mean, it is already a top 10 class with those two guys, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Derek, who I don't have great intel on Derek. I mean, it is between us, Houston, and Maryland, but no one really knows anything about Derek at this point. And we think that he's going to make a decision pretty quickly after he visits Maryland, which ends on the 22nd. So Boogie announces the 20th. That's the day Derek's visit starts. Derek's visit's done the 22nd. If momentum is real, we got a real chance here, right? I mean, it just feels like it. But even if you don't get Derek, if you get Boogie and you're starting that class with a stud point guard and stud sharpshooter that everyone likes to play with, I really do like our chances in spring recruitment / transfer portal to welcome some guys in. And there's going to be plenty of slots, because right now, if everybody at Indiana that is eligible comes back next year, if everybody, we will have three open slots.
Yeah.
Okay. We've taken one of them for Liam. So there's two more, but not, I'm counting people like Khalil and McKenzie and Anthony right. Leal, who I don't think is going to come back for a fifth year.
Yeah.
So I think there's going to be at least a total of four open spots for the 24 class, and possibly 20 and possibly five, and maybe even more. But I feel very confident there will be at least four. So, Ward, this is as exciting as recruiting and the offseason can get.
It really does. And when you look at the numbers like IU and Philly threw up there on Peaks in terms of like, oh my gosh, this is the most five stars, you know, certainly anyone coach has gotten in the ranking era for Indiana University in such a short span of time, you know, not even Archie's four years or Crean's nine. You know, what Woody is doing in the ranking era is unprecedented. And that's terribly exciting. You know, to play the future game, because, you know, right now we're about to get into this season, and I'm really excited with the kind of talent, the depth of talent we have this season. I'm sort of resigned to the fact that it's not going to be all in sync as the season gets rolling, but we're really going to face some tough battles early on. We're going to get into the Big Ten, and I feel good about the talent on this team with the leadership we have coming together in March. But we're now going into the fall of 2024. Okay. And just to talk about what we definitely have in Liam McNeely is a guy unlike any we've had in a long time. And when you hear him say that part of his decision-making process was about getting to talk with and knowing that he was going to work with Calbert Chaney, a 6'7" shooter who could do more than shoot, who could get you thinking he was going to pop it from the outside and then blow past you and finish at the rim. Like, there's no doubt Liam was like, man, this guy is an absolute legend who played like 12 years in the NBA and coached there too. And now he's here and he can basically tutor me. That just having that piece without the other dominoes falling, which, you know, and we'll have a, you know, two more weeks here, three more weeks, maybe with Derek to think about all that. I'm just like so excited for Liam unto himself. And then, well, we've heard how well Gabe is doing. You know, is McKenzie going to be, not McKenzie. I think we all are figuring McKenzie and Khalil will probably be gone, but you know, Malik, that doesn't seem as certain of a thing. You know, right. And so when you want to talk about, okay, can Gabe come in and take over where X left off? Very different players, obviously, but clearly a guy who can be a really good point guard for us. You have Liam on the wing. You have Malik down low.
Don't forget Trey Galloway.
Well, and Trey, I mean, you didn't say anything about him earlier, so I don't have any feel for whether he would be coming back or not.
He's okay.
Great. So there's your two, but you know, CJ could be pushing him for that. And then you've got Caleb who can be down there low. And you know, if we're already saying, well, we're expecting contributions from CJ and Caleb this year, what do they look like with another year under their belt? And then Liam
Peyton Sparks still there as a solid backup big man.
Yeah. You know, that, you know, these guys who have been in the program, the system, whatever the system might be, for a year or two or three or five. And then you put Liam into that mix, and it really elevates the floor of what that 24-25 team would be.
Yes. But when you start thinking about adding Boogie and Derek, it's and crazy. Then what you could add in the transfer portal.
Yeah.
You're talking about a top 10 team. Like, that's what you're talking about. You're talking about the first time since 2013 that we have enough talent to legitimately make a Final Four run. That's the truth. That's what we're talking about if we land these guys.
Well, and I think, you know, the history of of the incredible freshman recruits coming in and making a Final Four run, there's been a lot of disparaging remarks made about what Duke and Kentucky did as they just fully embraced the one and done era. Right. But you would have this mix of all these other guys who have been around. Then you would have, especially with Derek and Liam, already playing at a really high level before getting to Bloomington, playing together at a really high level before Bloomington. And then Boogie, such a special guy to come in. And that's not to say Gabe doesn't still have a really important role on that team, that Trey doesn't have a really important role on that team. And we're talking, you know, how many seasons have we said this is the deepest we've been in like 10 years?
Right.
But that would definitely be the deepest team we've had, like going to 8, 9, 10 guys who can really contribute, maybe in more than one way, maybe in two or three ways, rather than just a lot of one dimensional players that we've had coming through for a long time.
And I also want to say this and go back to this again. I'm just, for purposes of this, going to look into a crystal ball. I shouldn't use that metaphor.
Yeah, you're putting in your crystal ball pick?
I'm going to look into the future and just hypothetically say we get Boogie Flynn. If Boogie Flynn is able to commit to us, that would mean that Mike Woodson and Brian Walsh, let's give Brian Walsh a ton of credit for Liam McNeely, which he deserves.
Amen.
And if we get Boogie Flynn, if we get Boogie Flynn, a lot of credit goes to Yasir Roseman and Mike Woodson, of course. But that would be beating Bill Self straight up for Liam McNeely, and it would be beating John Calipari straight up for Boogie Flynn. And what is unique about that, not just beating those guys, which, by the way, we know we beat Self with McKenzie, but we have not beat Calipari really for anybody real.
Nope.
But beating them both for guys that are national recruits that have no attachment, no natural inclination to Indiana, is unprecedented in Indiana University history. Okay, that's the truth.
It's crazy.
It is, and look, the modern era of recruiting, you could say, is like mid-90s till now. You know, even like the Cheney years really weren't modern recruiting what it is now. But late 90s into the 2000s, we're kind of in this new era. We have not beaten those guys at all for these kinds of recruits, let alone doing it in the same recruiting class for two guys who just are national guys that we just beat. And if we beat them, it's because Mike Woodson beat those guys. And that is putting our program at that elite level of recruiting that we have not been at. Kelvin Sampson would have gotten there. I have no doubt Kelvin Sampson would have gotten there. But when you look at the five stars that we have gotten, they have been different for the most part. McKenzie was different because it was late. He decommitted from Duke. And then we were in a heads-up battle against Kansas. Great. We won that one. But Jalen Hood-Schifino was not recruited at this level. He was not. Malik Renew came to us because Florida changed coaches, you know, and then we were there. Tamar Bates decommitted from Shaka, from Texas, once Shaka Smart went to Marquette and wanted to play for an African-American coach that was somewhat in their geographic area. There weren't many options, you know. So, and then even go back further, Trace Jackson Davis was from Indianapolis. Romeo Langford was from New Albany. Like, you could keep going back. I kept looking back, and Noah Vonleh, five-star, late recruitment, weird recruitment. Mm-hmm. Thomas Bryant, we beat Syracuse. These were not guys that were getting recruited by Kentucky and Kansas. And then you go back, James Blackman, five-star. You know, Cody Zeller, five-star, Indiana kid.
We did kind of beat Cal in the second go-around for Blackman because he committed to us, decommitted, and then we beat him in the second go-around, but he was a local kid.
But a local kid. That's my point. Like Yogi Ferrell, local kid. Hanner Perea, who, you know how I felt about Hanner at the time.
Wow.
But was at La Lumiere at the time, you know? So, I mean, not an Indiana kid, but he was in the state. This is unprecedented. This kind of recruitment is not where Indiana has been as a program forever.
Yeah.
I mean, because Bobby Knight had a different way of recruiting, but we have not been here. Eric Gordon, 5-star. Samson got him, one of the best players in the country. Wanted to come to Indiana because he was from Indiana, but well, didn't want to play for Mike Davis.
And look, you want to go back to the late 80s and early 90s when IU, Indiana, I should say, had a disproportionately high number of high-level high school basketball players compared to the rest of the country. Great. You lock down the greater Indiana area and you can have a top 10, in some cases, number one recruiting class just by being Bobby Knight and owning your backyard. But the game has changed to such a huge degree in so many ways. But when you talk about the talent being all over the country, the DMV, the South, these prep schools, it's like not even Coach Knight could have the talent required to be on par with the other great programs just by scooping out all the best kids from in and around Indiana. So exactly Coach right. Woodson came in, and I thought this was interesting, you know, what some of his comments that were out there were like, hey, I was told that we couldn't start recruiting these guys yet, that we had to work our way up to that. And I said, that's bullshit. And it's apparently true. He was right. If you have
and,
the moxie,
and by the way, I can say it is 100% accurate that there were people on the staff that said, we're not Indiana. Like, just stop saying you're Indiana. That doesn't mean anything to these kids. And he just had blinders on and was like, screw it. I don't care.
Yeah.
We're going to get a seat at the table.
Well, and that's where, with the pedigree of what Indiana University was for decades, with a couple of flashes since, mixed with Coach Woodson's confidence, moxie, and probably just as importantly, his resume. His resume.
Liam McNeely said it in the interview with Rabbi. He said it. One of the main reasons I'm coming to Indiana is because of Mike Woodson's NBA experience. He knows he played there and he coached there. He knows how to get there. He knows how to stay there. Like, there is no doubt that. And we talked to Jeff Goodman a little bit about this, and I think he did admit it, that he and many undervalued Woody's NBA experience and what that would mean to kids. And when he was compared to people like Juwan Howard and Stackhouse and Patrick Ewing and Chris Mullen, none of those guys had the breadth of coaching experience that Mike Woodson had.
Head coaching for the pushing a decade.
Wasn't Chris Mullen a head coach for the Pacers for a little bit?
I don't think so.
I thought Chris Mullen was a head coach in the NBA, but I could be wrong. But he certainly didn't have the extent of head coaching experience.
In terms of like the stacks brick building, on top of each other, it's like,
stack bricks.
Bricks stacking on top of each other.
The stacks bricking on top of each other, I think.
Did I?
I think
that,
so.
That sounds like me at the free throw line. is that okay? Well, it's all good and fine to say this is what you're going to do, and your resume could back that up, but you actually haven't done it yet. You kind of just got here. You're new at this. You say that that's going to help me develop and get me to the NBA and get drafted high, but is it? And fortunately, right. you have somebody like Jalen come through who's like, yeah, I believe this guy can do this for me. And then he does. And so then it's not just like on paper, it's on the Lakers right now. The proof is in the pudding. And so guys are like, well, okay, he already proved in short order he could get me drafted in the first round. Okay, that's cool. And then like, yeah, I know all these other guys like Self and Calipari have been doing it for decades, but like this guy's doing it already with some of his first players. But like what he has and what he's done is actually know what's required once you get there. So it's really a really good pitch that clearly Woody and his staff are great at making, and it's going to just every other guy who commits and ends up going to the pros. And that's why, as amazing as it would be to have McKenzie or Khalil on the team next year too, when one, hopefully three of these guys arrives, ultimately it's a win-win situation, whatever goes on for IU. And then because if for some reason one or two of those guys don't go and we get these other guys coming in and we just wipe the floor with everybody all season long because we're basically like an NBA team, a young NBA team, that's great too. But like, I want to turn it on to Kentucky for a second with the Boogie. I know you're listening, so I want you to hear this, my man.
Sure.
I mean, it is not pleasant in Lexington right now. It hasn't been for a few years. You know, they're getting tired of Cal, okay? And like, you want to come to a place, one, where, you know, the fan base isn't just a bunch of dickheads like they are in Lexington. Okay.
Totally.
Not, there you go. But look, it is not a good vibe around Cal and that program right now. And if momentum is a real thing, and it is, and you're talking to people, you're asking about, you know, what's going on, and everybody's just kissing the ground in Bloomington that Woody's walking on right now, go get a man on the street to tell you what they think about Cal right now. I like our chances.
I'm with you. By the way, I was wrong. Chris Mullin did not coach in the NBA. He only coached St. John's.
Yeah, he played on the Pacers towards the end of his career.
I remember that.
That was it.
But then the other part that we just nobody knew about Woody, except maybe Scott Dolson and the people that put him in place. He's got a unique ability to relate to young players because of his playing experience and being in the league, while at the same time being the guy that parents trust to turn their young men into fully grown men. That is a unique ability. I think that there are many coaches who are one of those things and have done very well at that. You know, I'm the guy who can prepare your kid for the NBA. But to be the guy that can do that and preach education and also be the guy that the player relates to is unique. And it is clearly what is helping Woody land some of these guys that he is landing. And when you hear them talk about him, you get that also. He coaches me up. He coaches hard. He doesn't put up with bullshit. But he's also super funny and knows when to be light and dances in practice and says he could kick my ass in a game of one-on-one. If he, you know, like all that stuff is unique. John Calipari can't do that.
Bill Self, like, look at these guys. I mean, they're slick. They're snake oil salesmen, and they've made an incredible career.
They're good
out
at it. They're real good at it.
They're real good at it. But that just can't compare to a guy who played at that level and coached at that level that all these top guys are trying to get to. Like,
there is one ingredient missing, Ward. One.
What's that?
From being where we want to go. He's gotten five stars to commit.
Yep.
He has turned borderline five stars or five stars into NBA first round draft picks, which we know these are key. He just has to win.
Well, you got to walk before you run.
Yeah, and true. And he's walking fast.
Yeah. He's breaking into a trot.
If he wins, especially this year, if he can surpass expectations with what is really a rebuild, I know no one wants to think about it that way, but it is. When you lose Trayce Jackson-Davis, who has been your pillar since he got here, when that is the guy that you're losing, your leading scorer and rebounder and block shot guy for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
When you lose him and you lose Race, who's just been a journey, a workhorse for his 12 years in college. And when you lose Jalen Hood-Schifino, who was just a player beyond his years, to come back, and we didn't get 3 5-stars. You know, we got McKenzie, we got Khalil with great talent, but it's a bit of a rebuild. If he can surpass expectations this year, if he can finish in the top four of the Big Ten, if he can make it to the second weekend, you know, of the tournament, I just feel like that is going to be the kerosene that you pour onto this fire that is going to turn it into an inferno. That I really believe that could happen. And it may even happen without it if you get Boogie and Derek. that right. it just looks like we are the program that people want to be at. And then you look at Jalen Harrelson and Trent Sisley and those other 25 guys, and they look at that and go, well, this is the cool program now.
Yes. Yes. And you know, and it's wonderful that we've already got our hooks deep into these local 25 guys. And there's just a lot of 25 guys around the country that IU is really in communication with, and the organization and the outreach has been outstanding. You know, it was really interesting, and it will, time will still tell about this all in on these three guys strategy that they ended up going with for this class. But there's a lot of guys looking at IU, a lot of really good guys for 25 who some of them probably be around for Hoosier Hysteria. Some of them already been around. Some of them are certainly in communication with the coaching staff on a regular basis. And these guys want to win. And Woody's, well, hey, we got to the tournament the first year and won the play-in game. We comfortably got in the second year and we won
and finished
won a legitimate
second or third
game.
in
the Big Ten.
Second, I think we finished second to the Big Ten, I think, didn't we?
Yeah, maybe it ended up being a tie, but yeah, it was really quite remarkable. And that was with one in particular, but a couple really consequential injuries in which we stumbled. Otherwise, we would have been right there with Purdue for the title. And so,
yeah, we were second. Tied for Northwestern, but we got the 2 seed.
The point you're making is what this is all going towards for us and a lot of these players. I'm not saying there's a few players that are just like kind of looking to get theirs to jump to the next level as quickly as they can. I don't think the staff is really into recruiting those guys. So when you hear a lot of these guys talk that we've got, that we're hoping to get, they want to win. They want to win conference championships, get to the Final Four, hang a banner. And at a certain point you do run out of that new coach spell. We're like, well, we're building towards that. And when you come here, then we'll be able to get to that. So I think a trip to the Sweet 16, the 616, the
easy
Sweet 16 just will help reinforce the narrative of this is a program on the rise in every way, shape, or form. And if you come here, you can be a part of the team that then gets to the weekend after that and the weekend after that.
Totally agree. By the way, so nobody corrects me. Indiana finished tied for second in the Big Ten last year, but got the 3 seed because Northwestern beat us those 2 games.
Twice.
So
brutal.
Yeah, it's exciting. I will say this because I'm almost becoming too optimistic for what I am as a human being.
Yeah, it's weird.
We do need to get Boogie or Derek for this recruiting class to be a big time success. If we miss out on Boogie and Derek, I'll be so happy that Liam is coming. But I will be very worried about that 2024 class. I will be. I think, again, we've said it for a long time, this class needs to be the class that gets us to that next level. And to do that, we need multiple elite talent. And Boogie and Derek fit the bill there. I don't want to wait till the transfer portal to have to fill in guys that you're counting on to be impact players. I'm fine. You know, getting guys like Peyton Sparks and Anthony Walker are awesome in the transfer portal.
Yeah, I would be a lot more worried. I would be worried. I wouldn't be really worried because of what just happened in the spring of this year.
Yes, but we'll see what happens. Like, we don't know what's going to happen.
We don't, but because the track record thus far, it's like, oh, man, this class is going to be rough. Oh, wait a second. Let's get a 5-star recruit who dumped Duke and dissed Kansas for us, and let's get this 7'9" guy out of Oregon who didn't fulfill his potential because Dana Altman is a terrible human being.
Fair. All right, I'm going to go with that, but if we don't get Boogie and Derek, I'm going to be really upset. So, hey, man, we're 72 hours away from knowing something else. So this is going to be fun. I'm going to attempt to do the spaces again live if there's a good chance that he's going to come to Indiana. If we get word that he ain't coming to Indiana, I am not going to do a spaces live for his announcement.
Fair enough. And I don't plan on shooting anything with an alien puppet
good.
On that
Friday,
date.
2 o'clock. 11 a.m. our time.
That's Friday. It's a Friday, right?
Yeah,
it's Friday.
11 a.m. West Coast time.
Yeah. Well, let's have another. Let's
say, come over, smoke a cigar.
Hold on. Let me look at the calendar. We're gonna do this because it's really good radio.
Yeah, everybody loves scheduling.
Yeah, yeah. I'll come over Friday the 20th at 11 a.m. unless that guy calls you back and has terrible news.
God, and then Hoosier Hysteria is Friday night. Gucci Mane.
Gucci Mane. You said Liam's putting a band together. Liam, Derek, Boogie. You know those shirts that have those people's names, like characters from TV shows?
Yeah.
Derek, Boogie, Liam, Gucci.
Why'd you decide to go Derek up top?
I just whatever name came into my head first is what I said.
Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier Hysterics for the hysterics. No E.
No I. But the sometimes why.
Is that because you're too lazy and you don't want to edit in somebody's voice?
I'll put in somebody's voice. Who you want?
Woody.
Yeah, Woody for sure.
But the sometimes why.
I mean, it's got to be Woody. We'll see you next time.
It's good to be a Hoosier.
From the halls of assembly, you'll hear a screaming shout. Our love of Indiana is manic and devout. Everything I do, we discuss in unique manner. We won't be satisfied until we hang another banner. Us two goofy guys go by names of Ward and Eric. And as you probably know,